How Curious is sponsored by the Oklahoma City Community Foundation.
Former First Lady Donna Nye has always had a passion for leveling the playing field for Oklahoma citizens who are developmentally disabled. A group of her closest friends decided to establish the Donna Nye Foundation in honor of the commitment and work she was doing in this area.
We've worked with the Nyes for so long that we really have a feel for their passion and their heart for giving.
If you care about causes that help citizens with developmental disabilities, join us. The Oklahoma City Community Foundation will help you make it happen.
Well, you would come in, and I would greet you, and I have you sign our guest book.
Okay, let me come do that now.
Hello there, this is Rachel Hopkin with KGOU's How Curious, which is dedicated to Oklahoma stories, past and present.
So we are a multifaceted theater.
Karen Norris is a docent at the Coleman Theatre Beautiful, to give it its full name. It stands pride of place on the part of Route 66 that runs through Miami, Oklahoma.
We are equipped to do so many things. We try to involve all of the community and all of our tourists, and we have a lot of European tourists in this summer.
This is gorgeous.
It is.
I laugh about our role here.
Danny Dillon is the theater's managing director.
Are we a museum, or are we live theater? And I tell people, we're like the Night at the Museum movies. You can come in through the day, and we are a museum, but at night, everything comes to life. And we're a living, active theater, you know.
The Coleman Theatre Beautiful has been that living, active enterprise since it was first built in 1929. Now on the National Register of Historic Places, it's a splendid example of Spanish colonial revival architecture on the outside and a wonderfully ornate Louis XV style, rich in red and gold on the inside.
This is George Coleman on the wall.
Karen is showing me a framed black and white photo of the man in question.
He's the reason we have our theater here in Miami. And he, in the early 1900s, he and his brother came to relocate their family and to drill for water.
The water thing may have been a ruse to put others off the scent should they uncover anything more valuable.
The shavings that came up definitely was not liquid. So they brought it to Miami to be assessed. He would have uncovered the largest and richest lead and zinc mine in this area.
Not just this area.
It was probably the second largest vein of lead and zinc in the world. So this is going into World War One. Both of those elements were things that every country was desiring because, of course, the lead for ammunition, the zinc went into the radio operations. So he went from a man who was just an ordinary working class gentleman, suddenly found himself making about $1 million every month.
Oh my goodness.
Now that is an average. We can see there was times he made it in a week. There were times he made $1 million in a day.
And he evidently wasn't stingy with his newfound funds, least of all in the place that he'd made his home.
He really so instrumental in establishing this town. He helped bring in the newspaper and the hospital and the library. He also helped to co-found what is our community college today.
After he had done all that, he thought, well, I haven't got married yet, so I probably should do that. So he met and married a very young lady, and she loved theater. So they would travel by rail.
At that time, you could go over, not everybody could afford to do it, but at our depot, you get on the train and take an express train to Kansas City. That was nothing for them to go have an evening out in Kansas City and vaudeville shows and the opera houses, all those things.
They became friends of many of the vaudeville and burlesque stars. So he got the idea he would just see if they'd come here and perform. And they laughed and said, there's no place to perform. His answer was, I guess I'll build it if you come.
And so they signed a contract. Now, he signed for them to bring their show here in less than 1 year.
So he didn't have long to get the theater done.
330 days. The theater was built and opened
days.
For a show, yes.
The Bowler & Bowler firm of architects were behind the design, and the Rux Brandt Company carried out the construction.
Seated 1,600 people opening, the only air-conditioned building in the county, and the very biggest names of vaudeville appearing on the stage.
¶¶
brand new theatre came equipped with a mighty Wurlitzer organ. And despite the speed of construction, there was plenty of attention to detail.
This is plaster cast moulding with gold leafing.
This adds decoration all around the auditorium and beyond.
The pineapples mean welcome and hospitality. And then you're going to see fruits, nuts, vegetables, and to me, all of this molding is like a substance alive. And then you see cherubs. And then on the exterior, we have the gargoyles. And they are the protector of the building.
Okay.
Back inside, Karen herself danced on this stage when she was 5 years old. But what of the big name vaudeville performers?
We've got them all recorded, like the Marx Brothers. Sally Rand, who was an infamous fan dancer, and I'm sure people protested her being here because it was very risque. She was shut down at the Chicago World's Fair and put in jail because her show was so lewd. It was striptease.
Okay.
It was a tease. No one knew whether she was wearing clothes or not underneath. And she was so good at what she did. I'm going to say that she must have been masterful because she was here. It was actually in the 30s when she was here the first time. And she came back again in the 50s. I thought, if a lady is that old and still doing that kind of an act, tip our hats to her. But anyway, so Sally Rand, Blackstone, the magician, was here. Oh, of course, Will Rogers was here. And Tom Mix rode his horse on the stage in his act and all that kind of stuff. So at the biggest names, we also had some of the smallest entertainers. We found a handbill that said, tonight on the Coleman stage, of course, this wouldn't be correct today, but 30 dancing midgets. So I read about these folks. They were called the Singers Midgets. And it wasn't, I thought, oh, so they sing and there were little people. You know, no, Mr. Singer was their manager. He went around and formed a troupe of little people. And he actually helped to supply the talent for The Wizard of Oz, the movie. So I say we had the biggest names and the smallest people. 30 of the Munchkins danced on our stage one night in a show.
Danny had told me that Mr. Coleman was friends with Bing Crosby. So, of course, I wanted to know if he'd ever performed here. Apparently, he didn't in a formal capacity.
But it was not uncommon for Bing Crosby to step out on the stage when he was in town. And kind of, you know, they didn't have TMZ back then, so here's Hollywood gossip. You know, so you tell them a little about what was going on in that world. And then they said, usually, he would sing a song or something before he left the stage.
Would you like to swing on a star? Carry moonbeams home in a jar? And be better off than you are? Or would you rather be a mule? A mule is an animal.
Mr. Coleman passed away in 1945. At that time, things shifted.
The vaudeville tradition had by then mostly faded away, and the Coleman became largely just a movie theater.
Going into the 50s, the climate of the country had changed. And this Louis XV interior that was so formal wasn't so popular now. New places were getting built, a flashier, different look. And they started trying to change the look to match that. So things happened. In 46, we could see they'd changed the carpeting. They started taking off the moldings that were ornate moldings off the wall. When the big cable that held up the 2,000-pound chandelier, it started to fray a bit rather than replace the cable. They took out that chandelier. It made it a pretty dark room. Well, these other people who were running it also did not keep a good roof on the building. And so it started to leak. And I mean, it got bad. You could get wet watching a movie. By the time in my growing up here, the late 70s, my high school years, if you would have called it the Coleman Theater Beautiful, which is its name, we would have laughed.
The organ had also been sold off. Family ended up giving the theatre to the city of Miami. One of the suggestions for its future was to raise it to make way for a car park.
But the people in the town then rose up and they were just like, yeah, that theatre may look bad, but our memories are holding up those walls. You can't tear down the Coleman.
The people of the city came together as the Friends of the Coleman in an ambitious initiative to renovate and restore the theatre to its former glory.
We hauled out 6 tons of trash. But in that debris, we found things like the moldings that we were able to replicate from. So now those moldings you see aren't the original, but they are just like the original because we found all that. We found the molds for the marquees out front.
Danny and Karen both regaled me with stories of the renovation, which were full of serendipities. Like the original chandelier, it had been taken down in 1964 and was deemed lost until it was found in an outbuilding in the former Coleman home around the time that the renovation was getting underway back in the 90s. Then there were the seats. The originals had been torn out long ago, but what to do with the incongruous replacements which were beginning to fall apart themselves?
Someone thought to look up and see if the original company were still in business, and it was. So we called them, thinking, well, maybe they could find something more close to what we... They had our original order, and they still make the very same things. So they could replicate exactly. Of course, now with that, we said, well, we may not want exactly. We've had a big thing happen in Miami since 1929. McDonald's came to town, and most of us have supersized. Is there any way we could make those a little wider? And they could. So they made the chairs all 2 inches wider. With that, we have fewer seats, obviously, but it's a great trade-off.
The friends of the Coleman were also determined to bring the organ home. Like the chandelier, it first had to be located.
One family in particular, the wife really wanted that organ, not just an organ, but that organ. And they looked for it for 10 years. What had happened, the man who purchased it was sort of a televangelist type person. So after he went to prison, they had a hard time finding where it had gone. And in Tulsa, there's a very active organ society, and they gave us the name of a man down in Texas who had a reputation with the Wurlitzers. We called him and asked him if he might know where our organ was. And he kind of had a little pause, and he said, well, I'm looking at it. He had purchased it himself. And the great story is, when he was a young man, he played on a semi-pro baseball team, and they had come to Miami.
He was staying in a hotel that Mr. Coleman had been instrumental in establishing. And from there, he could hear the Wurlitzer organ in the Coleman Theater and fell in love.
And that started his lifelong passion for the Wurlitzer organs. And so when it came for sale and he was able to purchase it, he did. So when they called, told him that there were volunteers who were restoring this theater, and he did kind of know the shape that it had become, and they'd been looking for the organ. He just basically said, good luck, goodbye, and hung up. He just wasn't going to get involved with that. But we wouldn't leave him alone, and that family I told you about, they brought he and his wife here, and when they came in and saw what was happening, saw the passion the people had for the project, he said, you know, the organ is the voice of the theater. And he says, I would love for your theater to get her voice back.
Now, there was quite a bit of negotiating back and forth and a whole lot of fundraising in order to meet the gentleman's 100 grand asking price. But eventually...
got it back. He came in, worked for 6 months, had to have volunteers, but about 30 people showed up every day and got that reinstalled. Today, it is the only one of the Wurlitzer organs that was built in 1928 that is still in the venue that it was built to be in anywhere left in the world.
Hear it there today, the Coleman Theatre Beautiful in the heart of Miami, Oklahoma. Thanks to Danny Dillon and Karen Norris, as well as to Melissa Mercer-Berryman for their help with this program. How Curious is a KGOU public radio production. The managing editor is Logan Layden, David Gray composed our theme music, and I'm Rachel Hopkin. As ever, if you have an idea for a future episode, we'd love to hear about it, so please drop us a line at curious@kgou.org.
Hi, it's Terry Gross, host of Fresh Air. Hey, take a break from the 24-hour news cycle with us and listen to long-form interviews with your favorite authors, actors, filmmakers, comedians, and musicians, the people making the art that nourishes us and speaks to our times. So listen to the Fresh Air podcast from NPR and WHYY.